This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, coming to you today from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Later in the hour, we'll be talking about art acne, these little dimples that are all over Georgia O'Keeffe's famous paintings. But first, last night, Japan's Hayabusa 2 spacecraft made contact with the asteroid Ryugu, part of a plan to collect material from the asteroid's gravelly surface and eventually return it to the Earth. Ryan Mandelbaum, science writer at Gizmodo, is here to talk about the mission and other short subjects in science. Welcome back, Ryan.
Hey, Ira. How you doing?
Let's talk about this mission. What's the goal here?
Yeah, so they want to sample material from this asteroid Ryugu and bring it back to Earth. So it's an exciting mission. It's really hard to land on an asteroid.
So give us an idea of the sequence that's going on.
Right. So last night, they were orbiting this asteroid and then they came in close. They shot a bullet made of the element tantalum at the surface, hoping to kick up some of the gravel and then capture it in a little sampling horn. If they were able to actually get any of that sample, then they're going to fly it back to Earth and drop it off for us to go pick up.
This has been kind of frustrating until now, right? They had a first mission that didn't go so well.
That's right. So this is Hayabusa 2. Hayabusa, the first one, had a couple of mishaps before dropping off a capsule with some dust in it. And then this time around, they actually arrived at Ryugu and the surface was the wrong texture. They thought that it was going to be powdery and it was more gravelly, so they had to go back to the drawing board and test this tantalum bullet on a new mixture to see if they could still pick up some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. So did it look like, as you say, it did knock up some dust from the asteroid? What's the timeline now for bringing it back?
Yeah, so it worked in the first round of experiments. We won't know how much they picked up until it drops off the capsule, which should be in late 2020.
Oh, so we'll have to wait.
We've got to wait.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It's exciting, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Let's move back in time now. There's news this week about what may have led to the demise of the dinosaur. You know, this it wasn't just the asteroid. The asteroid idea is sort of getting modified lately, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, in India, there's this enormous deposit of solidified lava called the Deccan Traps, and people think that the Deccan Traps might have been formed by a 66-million-year-old volcanic eruption. If a volcanic eruption that big probably would have sent gases into the atmosphere that could have led to the demise of the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. So what's the mechanism by which the eruption would have killed off the dinos?
Right. So it would have deposited gases like CO2 and sulfur, and then it could have disrupted the food chain, perhaps caused plants to photosynthesize less. But the real thing here is that it's actually two teams, one of which is detecting this huge pulse of lava right before the impact happened, and the other is detecting that maybe a quarter of the lava came out before the impact and then most came out after. So there's this disagreement of just how much this, you know, volcanism leading to atmospheric change might have actually, you know, contributed.
So the timing is important, plus you also have people who are not so on board with this idea to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. Timing is everything here. And I think that some of the folks at least who I spoke to did say, well, I'm going to think it's the asteroid until I have absolutely concrete evidence. So it's still going to be some more measurements until we have a yes or no for sure. And we'll never know.
Well, that's the thing, you know. So, you know, there are some scientists who love the idea. They love the chase more than actually figuring out the details.
That's right. And, you know, something that happened 66 million years ago, I mean, we're really piecing together a puzzle with a lot of the pieces missing.
There's a story this week about shark genomes.
That's right.
Shark genomes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, I mean, we all love the great white sharks, right? And I guess it's a urban legend. I don't know where this came from, but people think that sharks are resistant to cancer. Now, that's not true, but sharks actually do have this amazing genome that they sequence.
Where's Lauren?
It's 50% bigger than the human genome, and a lot of these genes help it heal quickly. They repair cell damage, and there seem to be genes that help prevent cells from growing out of control.
Mm-hmm. And what else is weird about this shark's gene?
Well, I think that the weirdest thing here is just simply the fact that it's A, so big, and B, so you know, just has all of these weird properties that make it so you know, resistant to disease and to, well, sort of to cancer, things like that.
So we could probably make use of for people.
Well, that's the hope.
The shark gene.
Yeah, if you study something like this long enough, maybe we'll come up with some, you know, wild new way to cure cancer. We don't know for sure yet because this is just step one, is sequencing the genome. But from here, you know, more research ensues, right?
Right. And finally, in other health news, the FDA has a warning for us.
That's right. Don't inject yourself with young blood.
Now, this is a thing, right? This is a thing that people do.
Yeah, it is a thing. There is preliminary research in mice that shows that the blood of younger mice is different from the blood of older mice, and that it did seem to help the health of these older mice if they infused the younger blood into the older mice. But that doesn't say very much about us as people. This isn't something that's been clinically, you know, that hasn't gone through rigorous clinical trials, and there's no proven benefits yet. And so you have people who, it's shady. People are like, oh, come join my secret clinical trial and we'll, you know, inject young blood into you and you'll live forever. And everybody's like, yeah, that sounds great. But don't do that.
The FDA has a warning for companies that are trying to sell this idea. Right?
That's right. You know, people are seizing on the sort of the nascent but inconclusive science right now. So they're basically saying, don't fall for this yet.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ryan, for keeping us up to date and further warnings.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me again, Ira.
You're welcome. Ryan Mandelbaum, a science writer at Gizmodo.